in my Jeezy voice. This is Peep Game Fantasy Football. Laurie McCormick. We had a wild week 4 and some big injuries to talk about. So without further delay, let's get right into it. First game we're going to talk about is the Minnesota Vikings versus the New Orleans Saints over there in London. Now, Dalvin Cook, he did play. Didn't do that much. You would have wished as a fantasy manager that he got into the end zone, but he did look good out there. Justin Jefferson, he bounced back in a big way and had a very good game. And Adam Thielen had a good game, too. Kirk, you know, I got Kirk in the league, and I decided to bench him because him playing at 9:30 over there in London, to me, is the equivalent of a primetime game, and I wasn't taking that chance with Kirk Cousins. And that's pretty much it on the Vikings side. You know, the thing is, I like Kirk Cousins, and I like Adam Thielen. I mean, not Adam Thielen. I'm sorry. I like Justin Jefferson, and I like Adam Thielen. But Kirk being so inconsistent, I think it's going to be a problem. And if you got Justin Jefferson and or Adam Thielen, and you need a key game to win, you just don't know if you're going to get the good Kirk or the bad Kirk that particular week. On the Saints side, we know Jameis Winston was out. Got the word Sunday morning that Alvin Kamara wasn't playing. So they started Mark Ingram in his place. Mark Ingram wasn't doing that much, but then he went down. He got hurt. They brought in Latavius Murray. Latavius Murray looked better than Mark Ingram, and he got into the end zone. Now, it's going to be key as far as we know waivers hit on Wednesday. It's going to be key if Alvin Kamara is going to play week 5, because if not, I say try to get Latavius Murray off of waivers. Next game, anybody else to talk about? Chris Olave, he did look good. He left the game a couple of times, but he did come back in the game. And we know they didn't have Mike Thomas. Jarvis Landry really didn't do anything at all. Andy Dalton, he was efficient. He ain't nobody that I would say stream, but I mean, he was efficient at least during the game. But you know, it ain't too much to say about the Vikings side. They need Mike Thomas and Kamara back sooner than later. Next game, Seattle Seahawks and the Detroit Lions. I guess both of these damn teams said, fuck it, we just not going to play no defense, okay? Whoever just scored the most, we ain't playing no defense. You take the Detroit side. They was without Amon-Ra St. Brown, their number one receiver. They was without DeAndre Swift, their number one running back. They was without DJ Chark, their second wide receiver, okay? They had to sit there and Josh Reynolds and a couple of other people that's not irrelevant. And Jared Goff had one of the best games of his life, okay? T.J. Hockenson was out there running routes like Travis Kelce out there. You know, he had a killing. And Jared Goff threw what? What was it, 4 touchdowns? I mean, they were just going back and forth and back and forth the whole game. Even Geno Smith looked great. And Geno Smith is actually a top 10 quarterback this year in fantasy football. That right there is wild in itself. But getting back on Detroit, you know, T.J. Hockenson had the best game of his career. Jamal Williams, he started off slow, but then he got things going. He had a good game. Josh Reynolds, he got a good game. Had a good game, got into the end zone. I mean, the offense didn't miss a beat, even with, like I said, their number one receiver and their number one running back not even playing in the game. On the Seattle side, hey, D.K. Metcalf, he got his man. You know what I'm saying? He looked real good out there. People was worried for a second because we got the alert saying that he was getting carted off the field. But his ass had to go to the bathroom. That's why he was getting carted off the field. It wasn't no injury, you know. But he did look good. Tyler Lockett, yeah. Rashad Penny balled the hell out. Now, people say, okay, what's going on with Rashad Penny? Is this what we're going to see, you know what I'm saying, moving forward? I really can't tell you. He did look good. It ain't every week you're going to play a sorry-ass defense like the Detroit Lions. So I really don't know if it's something that you're going to see from Rashad Penny every week. You could do two things when it comes to Rashad Penny. Either ride him and continue to see if he's going to continue to put up numbers like this or similar to this because Kenneth Walker didn't do anything. Or, based off of this real good game he had, sell him high. Those, to me, are your two choices when it comes to Rashad Penny. Next game, the New York Jets versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, we know Zach Wilson, he started this game. He really didn't look that well. I mean, and when he comes to it, besides Breece Hall having a good game, because Michael Carter really pretty much ain't do nothing at all. I mean, Garrett Wilson had a down game. Elijah Moore had a down game. Tyler Conklin had a down game. This is what we wanted to see. What would happen switching out Joe Flacco with Zach Wilson? You know, and players that I named, like the Conklins and the Garrett Wilson, they didn't have a good game with Zach Wilson being the quarterback now. And I think that's just something that you need to keep an eye on when it comes to that. And not to mention the amount of targets that the running backs are going to get out the backfield with them not having Joe Flacco no longer quarterbacking them. So that's just something to keep an eye on. On the Pittsburgh Steelers side, they made a switch during the game because Mitch Trubisky is trash in my Bubba Dub voice. So they had to go to the rookie, Kenny Pickett, which is I think is going to be a good thing. Now, you really didn't see it this particular game, and you might be concerned about Deontay Johnson because he only had 4 targets in the game. But, hey, I believe that Kenny Pickett, you know, saying for the rest of the year, is going to be a better quarterback for this offense for the Steelers than what is Mitch Trubisky. So we gotta wait and see. We know George Pickens, the rookie wide receiver, he had a good game. Maybe that's something to look forward to, because Chase Claypool, look, I put his ass on a waiver. Okay, I dropped him during the middle of the damn game. I didn't start him, and it's just not it. And I don't think quarterback change or not, it's not going to make a difference. I just don't think Chase Claypool is that dude. So I can see you, if George Pickens is available, I can see you picking him up. Don't give up on Deontay. Of course, you got Najee Harris there. And that's pretty much it. Next game, Chicago Bears and the New York Giants. 2 stinkers. It's amazing that the Giants are now 3-1, the Bears 2-2. Both of these teams' peripheral are not good. On the Giants side, Daniel Jones got an ankle sprain, so we don't know if he's going to play this week or not. Saquon Barkley is the truth. He showed it once again against the Bears. But outside of that, no receiving help. We know Richie James was looking good for the first couple of games, but he didn't do anything yesterday. We know Sterling Shepard is out for the year, and I don't know what the Giants are going to do as far as offensive weapons outside of Saquon Barkley. On the Bears side, thank God Darnell Mooney finally got some catches. They finally decided to throw the ball to their number one receiver. Hey, wouldn't you know, when you throw the ball to your number one receiver who had over 1,000 yards last year and 6 touchdowns, you know, it's a good chance that good things will happen. I'm surprised it took 4 weeks for the Bears to realize that. But, yeah, that's what usually happens when you actually throw him the damn football. You know, so you got that going on with Darnell Mooney. Hopefully it can continue, but I really don't know. Khalil Herbert started in place of David Montgomery. He had 77 rushing yards. It wasn't nothing spectacular, but he wasn't bad out there. Curious to see, will David Montgomery be back this week, or will it be the Khalil Herbert show again? And other than that, it's really nothing else to talk about in this game, with just a bunch of damn field goals. Next game. Tennessee Titans and an Indianapolis Colts. Tennessee won 24-17. Derrick Henry looks to be back, so that's good news. Robert Woods, I think he's getting more and more comfortable in the offense, him coming off that torn ACL. But Treylon Burks, he hurt his foot, so he's going to be out for a while. So that's just curious to know. I don't know if you want to sit there and take the chance on getting Kyle Phillips or Ikring Westbrook, whatever how you pronounce his name, off the waiver wire. But somebody going to have to replace Treylon Burks in this offense. On the coach side, Jonathan Taylor, he just ain't looking good. And now we find out that he got an ankle issue. He was battling an ankle issue, you know what I'm saying, all week in practice. He actually missed a day for the first time in practice because of his ankle. You know, but they say he was deemed healthy enough to play, but he re-injured that same ankle during the game. Now they play Thursday night against the Denver Broncos. I don't know if Jonathan Taylor is going to play. They said x-rays came back negative, but we don't know. So I don't know what's going on. You know, the coach was to have one of the better offensive lines in football. Why they struggling so bad, I have no idea, but, you know, Jonathan Taylor was like the consensus number one pick in fantasy football this year, and besides week one, it has not been panning out good for Jonathan Taylor. He's actually a buy low candidate for managers, how he's been looking right now. For the receivers, Michael Pittman Jr., he didn't have a good game. But Alex Pierce, their rookie wide receiver, he did have a good game. And if he's available on waivers, he's a good person to pick up for the Colts offense. Because outside of Michael Pittman Jr., they really have nobody else to throw the ball to. Hell, they didn't even throw the ball to Nyheim Hines like they should have yesterday in the game. So definitely the Colts need to do something about their offense that they don't have. They don't have long to try to see what they're going to do, being as though they play Thursday night. Chargers versus the Texans. Chargers won by 10. We know Keenan Allen is still out dealing with the hamstring issue. But we finally got the Austin Eckler that we wanted to see with him scoring 3 touchdowns in the game. Mike Williams, he bounced back. He had a good game. You know, I wonder what Mike Williams, is it going to be a thing with him where he has one good game, one bad game, and be inconsistent all year? Hopefully not, but that's what he's given so far. Joshua Palmer, you know, we try to stream him again because Keenan Allen missed the game, but Joshua Palmer didn't do anything this particular game. And, you know, Joe Everett is somebody still to stream in this offense as long as Keenan Allen is out. On the Texans side, Brandon Cooks got into the end zone. That's good, but David Mills doesn't look good. You know, he really don't, and Nico Collins really not doing nothing for this offense. But it was good to see Damian Pierce, the rookie running back. You know, he had that 75-yard touchdown yesterday. It was good to see him getting the end zone, and he got good fantasy points. So Damian Pierce is getting more and more adjusted, and he is a RB2 in fantasy football. Next game, Cleveland Browns and the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta won by 3 despite Kyle Pitts not doing anything, Mariota having a bad game. Cordell Patterson found out this morning that Cordell Patterson, he has to have surgery, so he's going to be put on IR and miss the next 4 weeks of the season. I didn't even know he was dealing with a type of injury during the game yesterday. I'm surprised they even won this daggone game, to be quite frankly honest with you. Now, like I said, Cordell Patterson is going to be out and stuff, so we'll talk more about Tyler Allgeier in a second. But on the Cleveland side, with Jacoby Brissett, ain't nothing to write home about. They didn't target. I think they only targeted Amari Cooper one time in the game, which don't make no sense. You targeted your WR1 one time in the game after he just had 2 consecutive good games in your offense. Even though I do know that one of the better corners in football was checking Amari Cooper yesterday, but still, like, one target. But, you know, Nick Chubb, he continued to have a strong game. Kareem Hunt, he really didn't do anything. Kareem Hunt, I say he's most of RB3 flex. He didn't do that much in the game. Not that much to talk about. I mean, David Njoku, he wasn't bad in this offense. He didn't get into the end zone, but he wasn't bad. So that's pretty much it on that game. Next game, the Commanders and the Cowboys. Cowboys won 25-10. Zeke really didn't do anything, nor did Tony Pollard. But CeeDee Lamb had a very good game. And Michael Gallup was back for this particular game, and he got into the end zone. You know, Jalen Tolbert, once again, was a healthy scratch. All I can say is some kind of way Cooper Rush is still winning games. He's undefeated as the starting quarterback. And we know the Cowboys' defense played a big part in this win yesterday. On the Commander side, Carson Wentz, he really didn't have a good game. The Commanders was able to run the ball well during the game, but Antonio Gibson was getting out-carried by J.D. McKissick this particular game. Now, we got word this a little while ago that Brian Robinson is coming off the PUP list. He might be able to play Week 5. And something tells me, if either sooner than later, I don't know if it's going to be Week 5 or Week 6, but I think he's about to once again be the starting running back. We know he was named the starting running back before that incident happened and that attempted robbery, but I think being as though they're not really feeling Antonio Gibson right now, and the Commanders are in Ron Rivera, I think that Brian Robinson is going to be the starting running back. If some kind of way he's on waivers, scoop him up. Cherry McLaurin, he really didn't do anything, nor did Curtis Samuel. It was just a bad offensive game for the Commanders. Next game, Jacksonville Jaguars versus the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles won the game. Jalen Hurts didn't have a particularly good game, but Miles Sanders had a very good game, ran for over 150 yards. So that's good to see with Miles Sanders. They pretty much, because it was a lot of rain during the game, I think that the Eagles' game plan was just to pound the rock and, you know what I'm saying, keep running the football. So Miles Sanders had a good game. Even Kenneth Gainwell got into the end zone. It wasn't a bad game for A.J. Brown, but I think it would have been more if it wasn't due to the weather. And that's what they hit on. That's what they hit on the Eagles side. On the Jacksonville side, this is the first really bad game for James Robinson. Him and Travis Etienne didn't do anything. Christian Kirk didn't do anything either. You had, Jamal Agnew getting to the end zone a couple of times because he replaced Zay Jones, who didn't suit up for this particular game. Now, I think that's fluke. I would not pick up Agnew off the waiver wire. And I think better things are to come in this Jacksonville offense, because I do think they have a very good offense this year. Next game, Buffalo Bills versus the Baltimore Ravens. Buffalo won 23-20. Josh Allen, I mean, he was efficient. He didn't have a real good game like we're used to with Josh Allen. They started the game off slow and had to come back in this game. Stephon Diggs, he was okay. I think that Gabe Davis, though, is still dealing with that ankle issue. He really, once again, had a very bad game for Buffalo. I just think that maybe if he needs to sit out one or two more weeks to get that ankle just right, I think that's what Buffalo needs to do. Jamison Crowder also got hurt. I think he fractured his ankle, so he's going to be out. And Isaiah McKenzie left with a concussion. So curious to see will Isaiah McKenzie be back. Will he be back and stuff in time? Completing the concussion protocol for this weekend coming up, to playing the slot or not. On the Baltimore side, Lamar still looks good. It was good to see J.K. Dobbins. He got in the end zone twice for Baltimore. So it was good to see J.K. with a couple of rushing touchdowns. Rashad Bateman is dealing with a mild foot issue. He didn't play the whole fourth quarter. I don't know if he's going to play this week. He says he's day-to-day. We got to see. Duvernay pretty much ain't doing anything, and it was the worst game that I've seen in a while for Mark Andrews. So I think better things are to come for Andrews and a few players on the Baltimore side. We do know that Buffalo does have a good defense despite some of the injuries they got going on in the secondary. Next game, Arizona Cardinals versus the Carolina Panthers. On the Arizona side, Kyler Murray, he's looking good, and he is definitely somebody you should try to get in the trade if you can, because you know that, but before you know it, DeAndre Hopkins will be back. Hollywood Brown had a good game. James Conner really ain't do too much in the game. It was good to see Rondale Moore. He was back in the game. He didn't do that much, though, but what he did do is took care of everybody streaming Greg Dortch. And Zach Ertz, he had him a good game. On the Carolina side, Baker Mayfield is a fucking bum. I mean, he is a bum. They need to go ahead and just, I can't believe I'm saying this, they need to go ahead and start Sam Darnold. I mean, he's just not cutting. Okay, it was good to see Christian McCaffrey get 9 targets out the backfield, and he got into the end zone, so McCaffrey had a good game. And DJ Moore had one of his better games of the year, so it was good to see DJ Moore. But McCaffrey, but Baker Mayfield, this is not it. You know, I mean, it was terrible. I think they need a quarterback change, and they need to continue to make sure that DJ Moore and McCaffrey get as much opportunities as they can in this offense. Next game, the Denver Broncos and the Las Vegas Raiders. On the Denver side, Russ did have 3 touchdowns, 2 throwing, 1 rushing, so that was good. But the biggest thing that came from this game is Javonte Williams. He tore his ACL, so he's out for the year. So, if 9 times out of 10, Melvin Gordon is not on waivers, he's on somebody's team. So, you got to pick up Boone. You got to pick Boone up off of waiver wire to see how that go. Courtland Sutton, he was efficient. He had a good game, as same as Jerry Jeudy. But that's the biggest takeaway on the Denver Broncos side. On the Raiders side, it was the best game of Josh Jacobs' life. You know, 34 carries, 6 catches out the backfield. Best game of his life. Do I think that's going to continue? No. Do I think that it's chances that he could at least get 20 rushing attempts at least and stuff in order to each game? Yeah, I could see that, but not no 34 and 6 targets like he that got this particular game. Mac Hollins, he really didn't do anything this game. Devontae Adams, I mean, he was okay. He wasn't bad. He got you double-digit fantasy points, especially if you play PPR. But we know Devontae is too good. He ought to be having at least 20 fantasy points more every day going week. But the big thing was the Raiders won this game because of Josh Jacobs. Next game, New England Patriots and the Green Bay Packers. On the Packers side, we still want more when it comes to Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. They're not giving us enough. Well, Aaron Jones was drafted to be an RB1. A.J. Dillon was drafted to be an RB2. They're not consistently giving us that, and they need to, because fantasy managers, we're not feeling this, what's going on with the Green Bay and the points that neither one of them are giving us. Romeo Dobbs, Romeo Dobbs is okay. He dropped a touchdown in the end zone, which wasn't good, but I like Romeo Dobbs. And it was the best game so far this year for Alan Lazard. It was good to see him get 8 targets, and he was very good this game, so hopefully that can continue for Alan Lazard. But they almost lost. You know, I picked up Green Bay defense in a lot of leagues, and the wild thing about it is Brian Hoyer for the Patriots, he left the game with a concussion. They bring in their rookie, Zappy. You know, I'm like, who the hell is a Zappy? But Zappy came in and looked real good for the daggone Patriots, and I thought they was going to win the damn game, you know? So, it was wild. It went into overtime. I mean, Devontae Parker got into the end zone. Ramondre Stevenson, he looked good. Damian Harris, he looked good. We know they was out without Jacoby Myers, again, dealing with a knee issue. But I was very impressed with Zappy. Now, I don't know if he's going to start week 5 or not, or will Brian Hoyer, you know what I'm saying, get past the concussion protocol. But, yeah, that's what happened during this particular game. Last game to talk about. Kansas City Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, Kansas City was on fire. They said, hell with that. We remember what the hell y'all niggas did to us, you know, a couple of years ago in the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes was not playing. All right? They was on fire. Tampa Bay was on catch up, was trying to catch up back in this game the whole damn game, because as good as the Kansas City offense was, it seemed like every time they had the ball, they was in the end zone. Travis Kelce had a very good game. CEH, I don't know how he do it, but he did have 19 carries this particular game for 92 yards. That was good for CEH, because before then, you were surprised if CEH got more than 10 to 12 touches in the game. So it was good to see him get those touches and get in the end zone a couple of times. And not to mention the Isaiah Pacheco, the 7th-round rookie, he looked real good for this offense for the Kansas City Chiefs. They actually, because Pacheco was getting in the game so much, it actually knocked out the opportunities that Jerick McKinnon was getting. So that's just something to key in on, that Isaiah Pacheco might be somebody that you want to consider on the waiver wire on Wednesday. Juju really ain't do that much. He had 8 targets, but he didn't do that much. Also, and MVS really didn't do that much either. It was really Kelce, CEH, and that was about it and stuff. So, and on the Tampa Bay side, like I said, Tom Brady and them, they were trying to come back the whole game. And Brady, he was on fire and stuff. You know, Mike Evans did look good. He had a very good game. It was good for them to get Chris Godwin back. Chris Godwin came back. I believe, I forgot how many targets Chris Godwin had, but he had 70% of the snaps. So that was good for Godwin. How many targets did Chris Godwin get? Okay, Chris Godwin had 10 targets and 7 catches with 59 yards. So it's good. So that's good for him to have his first game back. We know he was out with that hamstring issue that he suffered in week 1 and him coming off that torn ACL. So that was good for Chris Godwin. And Julio Jones, he ain't do nothing at all. Neither did Russell Gage. Leonard Fournette, he actually got scripted out this game. Even though he could catch the ball out the backfield, Tampa Bay decided to sit there and play a lot of the rookie Rashad White and passing down because they're playing catch-up. And he looked good, and he got into the end zone. So maybe he's another one to get off the waiver wire. I already been saying that if you got Leonard Fournette, it's best to get Rashad White just in case. And The coaching staff was had confidence in him because Rashad White fumbled the punt return as soon as the kickoff return as soon as the game started. So for them not to sit there and do the Rashad White what they used to do for years with Ronald Jones once he fumbled and still let him get playing time, that says a lot as far as Rashad White and his development. And that's pretty much it as far as all the games and the injuries. Now, like I said, on Wednesday, I'll be running another podcast, but you need to know who to get off of waiver wire before Wednesday, okay? Before Wednesday morning rolls around. So I'm going to say this. When it comes to the waiver wire, I'm just going to name some people on the top of my head that I think that people should get off the waivers that I think will be good pickups on the waiver wire that you need to key in on, okay? All right, the first one and stuff, when it comes to quarterbacks, if some kind of way Jared Goff is on the waiver wire, you pick him up. Geno Smith, I can see you picking him up too. Like I said, he's a top 10 fantasy quarterback right now. Those two right there, I can see picking up. Running backs, Mike Boone for the Denver Broncos, he's definitely somebody to pick up. Benzo Javonte Williams is gone for the year. Tyler Ajay of the Atlanta Falcons, he's somebody to pick up because Cordell Patterson is going to be out for a month. Brian Robinson is somebody to pick up, being as though he just got activated off the PUP if he's available in your league. Raheem Mostert, he's somebody to pick up. It looks like he's the starting running back for the Miami Dolphins. Wide receivers. I tell you a wide receiver that you should pick up. I think you should pick up Van Jefferson for the Rams, okay? If this keeps up with Allen Robinson, Stafford's going to need a number two receiver because Allen Robinson's not getting the job done. If he had another bad game tonight and stuff, then I definitely say pick up Van Jefferson and stick him in your IR until he comes back because they're going to need another option on the other side of Cooper Kupp. So that's one receiver to pick up. Corey Davis is another receiver to pick up with the Jets. Anybody else as far as receivers to pick up? I really don't think there is another receiver to pick up besides those two. Oh, yeah, getting back to the running back. Like I said also, Isaiah Pacheco and Rashad White are two other running backs to pick up. Not that many receivers to pick up. I only named a few receivers. Oh, since the Giants is hurting as far as wide receivers, Wandale Robinson, their rookie wide receiver, he's somebody that you could pick up right now and stuff and probably stash him in your IR spot if you have an IR. Or you could take a chance in getting Kadarius Toney because they need help as far as weapons with the Giants. So those are definitely players right there that you can sit there and pick up off the waiver wire. As far as another receiver, like I said, because Treylon Burks is going to be out, Westbrook Akeen or Akeen, whatever how you pronounce his name, he might be taking Treylon Burks' place. So he's somebody that you could pick up too to see how it goes, being as though he probably will be the starter. As far as now, we do know that Tua is not going to play this week coming up. They already announced it, okay? I look at Teddy Bridgewater more so of a two quarterback, super flex quarterback. So unless you play in those type of leagues, I would not pick up Teddy Bridgewater off of waiver wire. Kenny Pickett. I do think that Kenny Pickett is the upgrade from Mitch Trubisky. But as it stands right now, just like Teddy B, if you're not playing in a super flex or two quarterback league, I would not pick up Kenny Pickett for a one quarterback league. And that's pretty much it when it comes to what took place on Sunday and who you should grab off of waiver wise. This is Larry McCormick, Peep Game Fantasy Football Podcast. Talk to you next time.